Okay, so let's talk about the Celtic Cross tarot layout now, or tarot spread. Pay careful attention to what I'm about to say, because I'm about to tell you, using words only, how to lay these cards out. So you may want to have a pencil and paper ready. Unlike the horoscope spread, this one can be a little more tricky. So I want you to be able to understand exactly where the cards go. So you may want to pause the recording and get something to write with. First of all, you're going to shuffle the deck, and you're going to draw 11 cards. 11 cards. The first card you're going to put down is the Significator. So you're going to lay the Significator card in the center of the table, or if you're working on the floor, that's fine, somewhere so that you can put plenty of cards around it. The second card you're going to put down is actually the first card, so we're not counting the Significator as the first card. So there are 11 cards, you've got the Significator down, now we're going to start counting from 1 to 10. The first card you lay over the Significator. The second card you lay over the first card, but you lay it horizontally rather than vertically. So all of these cards should be laid vertically. In other words, one of the thin sides is pointing toward you and one of the thin sides is pointing away from you. The thicker sides are pointing to your left and right. That's what I mean when I say vertically. So you're going to lay all the cards and all the readings vertically, except for the second card in the Celtic cross spread. You're going to lay it horizontally over the first card. The third card you're going to lay below all three of those. So you've got a little pile of cards now. You've got the Significator, you've got the first card, and the second card, all in a little pile. The third card you're going to lay beneath them. So if we're forming a clock again, this is going to be the 6 o'clock position. The third card is at the 6 o'clock position. The fourth card going clockwise now is at the 9 o'clock position. The fifth card is at noon up top. The sixth card is at 3 o'clock on the right. Now to the right of all of that, you've made a cross now. To the right of all of that, you're going to make a straight line. Starting from the bottom, and we're to the right of the cross now, starting with the bottom and lined up with the number 3 card. Remember, the number 3 card is at the base of your cross or at the 6 o'clock position. So parallel with the number 3 card, but about a foot over to the right, is the number 7 card. And on top of the number 7 card, meaning above it, you're not laying any cards on top of each other now, just that initial pile of 3 cards in the middle. But above the number 7 card is the 8 card. Above the 8 card is the 9 card, and at the top is the 10 card. So you should have a cross, and you should have a straight line. And if you had to say it spelled something, you'd say it spelled T-L or T-I. It looks like a T with an I next to it, or an L next to it. A lowercase T with an L next to it. So let's talk about what these cards mean. Remember, the Significator is a summary of everything that's going on. The number 1 card, which is on top of the Significator, is also called the cover card. And this really gets to the essence of the question. It gets to the essence of the challenge at hand. It presents the current state of the person you're doing the reading for. And if you're doing the reading for yourself, it presents your current state. And it talks about present influences, things that are happening in the moment that affect the question and affect the person being read for. So this shows where the person you're doing the reading for is in relation to the question. The second card, which goes on top of the first card, forming the top of that pile of 3, is called the cross card, because you're forming a cross with it. You're laying it down horizontally. The cross card shows the nature of the opposition or obstacles, or if there are no obstacles, it reveals that as well. It talks about what may help or hurt the person you're doing the reading for, and the challenges that are in the way. So this card will show difficulties, challenges, conflicts. It'll show things that need to be confronted. But it also shows resources and opportunities. Remember, the tarot is overall very positive. The tarot wants to end on a positive note. You can change the future in this way if you do something different now. So if there's a positive card in this position, the number 2 position, top of the pile of 3, there are very few obstacles. Very few obstacles means that there's opportunity, growth, and support. A negative card means that there's some block here. There's some challenge going on. The number 3 card, which is in the 6 o'clock position, represents what is beneath you, meaning what's the underpinning, what's the motivation, what's the repetitive behavior, what are the past experiences, which past experiences are affecting the present. So this gets to the root of the matter, the foundation of the situation. The 4th card, occupying the 9 o'clock position, this card shows things that are just finishing up. It can refer to situations, communications, feelings, events, even dreams that have been happening recently. The 5th card, which is at the 12 o'clock position, above all the other cards, and lined up, by the way, with the 10 card. This shows the avenues of development, the possibilities, the options, the goals, the ideals of the person being read for. It also reveals a different possible future and talks about possible different directions to take. It also indicates the best thing that could happen from the situation. So, this is some strong advice. If you do things correctly, you just might have this positive result. That's what that card's saying. So if you're looking for advice, this card is going to give it to you. Again, that's the number 5 card at the top of the cross. The 6th card, occupying the 3 o'clock position, talks about things that will be happening soon. These may be situations or ideas or people that are coming into the life of the person. And this will happen within the next few weeks. But the way these events are handled will affect the possible outcome, possible future. So that's it for the cross. Now we're moving over to the straight line next to the cross. Starting at the base of it, the number 7 card, this represents the self. It's where you are, or where the person you're reading for is. It's about secret wishes, attitudes, feelings, how you view yourself, and your general state of mind. The number 8 card is right above the number 7 card. And this represents the environment around you. What is around you? Now, when I say you, of course, I'm not going to keep saying it, but I always mean the person you're reading for or yourself, whoever the reading is for. So from now on, I'm just going to say you. So it represents the opinions of coworkers, friends, and family, anyone involved in the situation. The situation meaning what you're doing the reading for. It also talks about outside factors, including where you live, that might affect the outcome. The 9th card, which is right above the 8th card, is about expectations, fears, and hopes. So positive cards show positive hopes, positive wishes. Negative cards show fears and doubts. The 10th card at the very top of the L or I next to the T or cross represents the probable future, a final outcome, the most likely result. This is what you've been leading up to. So as you're reading cards for someone, you're leading up to this. You're building a case, essentially, for why this is the most probable outcome. So it helps to be able to look ahead and see what it is when you're doing a reading so that everything you say can lead up to it. Otherwise, you might be talking in one direction and the cards are actually going to end up in a different direction. So it can be helpful for at least you to know what all the cards are before you even start. It's kind of like getting to the end of the story and the story ends a different way and you weren't really prepared for that. And the rest of the story no longer makes any sense. So knowing what the probable outcome is going to help you give advice in a way that makes sense and is cohesive and paints a picture that works together. Of course, as you go on, you will develop intuition, and so you can rely less on this concept and more on just using your intuition. So now you understand how the cards are interpreted. But I want to give you another list that's going to help you interpret cards that may be upside down. Because when you shuffle cards, some cards can end up upside down. And unlike a traditional deck of cards, a deck of playing cards, when a tarot card is upside down, it shows because it has a right side up and it has an upside down. So it's important for us to understand the meaning of upside down cards. So no matter what the card is, its meaning is changed slightly by the position of the card. And we relate to symbols in this way. If someone gave you a thumbs up, you would think, hey, that means things are cool or things are great or things are good. What if someone gave you a thumbs down? That means the opposite. It means things are not so good. So we relate to symbols in relation to their orientation, whether they're putting upward or downward. So in general, I'm going to give you the dual nature of the cards. I'm going to first of all tell you what it means upright. This is for any card. The overall flavor that it has when it's upright. Flavor is not a tarot word, by the way. That's just the word I'm using to describe, to the best of my ability, this concept. But I'm going to tell you the overall flavor of the card, no matter which card it is. Let me give you a few. We'll get started, and then you'll see what I mean. An upright card could mean something you're wanting to do, whereas a reversed card, and reversed means upside down, by the way, that is a tarot word. Reverse card means you're holding back. So upright, wanting to do something, reversed, holding back. Upright means trustworthy, reversed, unreliable. Upright means quick, reversed means delayed. Upright can mean something persisting, reversed can mean it's absent, it's not there. Upright can mean positive, reversed means negative. Upright means obvious, reversed means hidden. And here's an interesting one. Upright means mundane, but reversed means spiritual. Along the same lines, upright means logical. Reversed means intuitive. Upright can mean something's happening, something's in progress. Reversed can mean it's done, it's finished. Upright can mean fast. Reversed can mean slow. Upright can mean external. Reversed can mean internal. Upright can mean the correct use of something. Reversed can mean the abuse of something, the incorrect use of something. Upright means conscious. Reversed means unconscious. So you see a little theme developing. Let's take three of them and review. Upright means conscious. Reverse means unconscious. So it's almost as if upright means the obvious. Reverse means less obvious. So upright means conscious. Reverse means unconscious. Upright means mundane, meaning things of this earth plane. Reverse means spiritual, things not of this earth plane. Upright means obvious. Reversed means not so obvious, hidden. So keep in mind that the orientation of the card has a lot to do with what it means. It can completely change the meaning of the card. Let's talk a little bit about the major arcana. Now, I don't want to get into a detailed analysis of all of the cards in the tarot deck, because I want you to have that as a reference. That's not something that you need to commit to memory. When you're first starting out, friends understand that having a book is handy. So I recommend getting a book on tarot cards as a guide for you. When I first started developing this program, I thought about giving you every single card and what it means, but I realized that you'll just have to write it down. Then I realized that you probably already have a book on tarot, or maybe you have several. Or you can go get one if you don't. Because what you write down is one thing, but it may not be a handy reference, maybe a bunch of pages that you wrote on. What will be a handy reference is having a book. So pick up a book on tarot that you can use as a reference, sort of like a doctor prescribing medicine. A doctor can use the physician's desk reference, the PDR, and look up any drug and what it does. So having a handy reference, no matter what you do, is always helpful. There's no exception in tarot. Get a handy reference that you can use. But that's all you're going to need. This program is going to give you everything else you need, and the rest is up to your intuition. So have a handy reference so you can look up the cards and what they mean. Have this program so that you can know how to lay the cards out and how to get the most out of your experience, and work on your intuition, going off of your feelings that come to you. But let's talk a little bit about the major arcana, or major trump cards. When a major trump card appears, a person can expect significant changes. And these are very important changes. Trump cards often talk about fate, so pay careful attention when you see the major arcana show up. Could indicate a life crisis or a personal transformation, but something of a significant level. Something else that's really going to help you out is using numerology, adding up the numerical values of the cards, which have numbers. And then you can reduce that number to a digit or a master number. The master numbers are 11 and 22. And the digits run from 1 to 9. Now, court cards don't have any numbers, so you don't have to worry about adding them. But I want you to realize how to use numerology. Let's say, for example, you have a few cards. You have a 3, a 7, a 2, and another 3. That's 7 plus 3 is 10, plus 2 is 12, plus 3 is 15. That's 15. That's 1 plus 5. You see, you keep reducing. If you get a 15, you add the 1 plus 5. If we had gotten a 17, we would add the 1 plus the 7 to reduce to one number. And the number will end up being 1 through 9 or 11 or 22. 11 and 22 do not reduce. So if you get to an 11 or a 22, those are master numbers and you don't reduce them anymore. So you can get an overall number for the reading just by adding up all the numbers and reducing. So let's talk about what the numbers mean. 1 is the number of singularity or originality or ambition or new beginnings or planting seeds or even having babies. It can also be conviction or decisiveness. Can be independence. So you see the overriding theme. With a few exceptions, the overriding theme is that one represents the individual, the strong individual. A two represents harmony. So it's the basic concept of having two, having a couple, for example, represents harmony, represents balance. It can also represent opposites, two opposites, or polarity, which is the same thing, two opposites, but somehow they work together. Three is the number of creative ventures or joy or expressing yourself or unfolding a project or happiness or pleasure. Three is just a wonderful number, a wonderful expressive number. Four represents foundation. Four is very solid. You can have a table with four legs, a house with four corners. Four is a very powerful number. It's the number of laying foundations and manifesting something in the material world. 5 represents adventure or freedom to travel or excitement. 6 represents harmony or satisfaction or equilibrium. It can also represent domestic responsibilities. So you see that even number power gives it stability. 5 is off having adventures. 6 is stable. 3 is off having fun. 4 is building a foundation, firm foundation. What about 7? 7's a spiritual number. This refers to occult studies, spiritual awareness, meditation, soul development. 8, now coming back down to the mundane, 8 is the number of status and work and money, capability. So you see, 7 is off on the hilltop meditating. 8 is diligently working, building money, building recognition, making progress of a mundane or earthly variety. Now, these aren't good or bad. I'm giving you sort of fun explanations of them sometimes, but just because I say 7 is off on a hilltop while 8 is working hard doesn't mean that 7 is drifty or anything, or that 8 is better than 7, or that any of the numbers are better or worse than any of the other numbers. It just means there's variety. 9 is the last of the single digits, and it has to do with giving, helping others, teaching, counseling, giving advice, humanitarian ideals. 11, the first master number, remember there are two master numbers, 11 and 22. 11 is the number of illumination or energy or creativity or inspiration. 11 has a lot of energy. 22 is also called the master builder, achieve success on a huge scale. So now you know more about interpreting the cards. So we're almost halfway through the program, and you're almost there because I want you to write down 5 more points, 5 more things that you got from the program, 5 more points that came to you during the second half of this module. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. 5 things that either I said to you or that came to you while you listened. Good. Now, I want you to take point number 1 and elaborate on it as I am silent. Good. Now take point number 2 and fill it in. Elaborate on it. Point number 2, elaborate on the point that you wrote down and make it real for you. Go ahead and involve emotion and a plan if you want to. Elaborate on point number 2 as I'm silent. Good. Now I want you to elaborate on point number three. Take point number three, what you got from the second half of this module, and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four and elaborate on that as I'm silent. All right, now take point number five and elaborate on point number five while I'm silent. Good. So now you have 5 points from halfway through the module, 5 points from the other half of the module, and you're only halfway through the program. You have 10 things with elaboration that you can use once you're done with this program. All right, let's get back to it.